Thanks, Glenn. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with you. It's great to see some familiar faces, some not familiar faces around here. It's great to see people back from holidays and other things. For those who don't know me, I'm Jordan. I'm one of the ministry team here. Can I just say as well, if you're new or visiting, you're so welcome. It's so great that you're here with us today. And happy Australia Day weekend, everyone. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know what Australia Day represents for you, whether it's a party, whether it's a good time to catch up with your friends, family, neighbours, a barbecue. I can already smell the sausages kind of coming through that door out there. Maybe it's just as simple as a day off tomorrow. I think partly for me, it marks the part of the year where things are starting back up again. Let me tell you what I mean. So we had Christmas events, we had New Year's, January's pretty quiet, people are away, but I think work kicks back in now. I don't know if you feel this. And before that happens, I thought it would be good to just take a minute to just stop and take a look back and reflect on the last year. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this, but generally over the last year and the last years, I've been noticing that I'm hearing more and more people say things like, I feel really lonely, or I feel unloved. Have you noticed this? Maybe you felt this. I know at times I've felt it a little. Last year, start of the year, we moved from the Southern Shire to Newtown, crossed all those bridges and did those things, and we left our friends and family behind. And that was quite hard, getting settled in a new neighbourhood and making new friends and all those sorts of things. Maybe you felt similar times of loneliness. Lifeline actually did a loneliness survey in 2016. And it came out that 8 out of 10 Australians say loneliness is increasing. That's a huge number. 6 out of 10 said they often feel lonely. Now, it's interesting as well, the age group that feels the loneliest is Gen Z, the young people, right? And the ones who are supposedly the most connected that anyone has ever been in the history of the world through social media and internet and other things, they're the loneliest. What's going on that's causing this loneliness in our world? I wonder if you reflect on the last year, have you felt lonely? As I thought on this loneliness, other words came up into my mind as I paired them with loneliness, and I thought, have I felt lonely? Have I felt unappreciated? Have I felt isolated, disconnected, disliked, unworthy, lost? Have I felt unloved? We crave connection, we crave appreciation and attention, we want relationship and community, we want to be loved. But so often we feel lost in loneliness and unloved. So what's the solution? Where can we find connection and community? Where do I fit in? How do I know that I'm loved? Well, these are questions we're tackling together today, and to see that we're going to have a look at God's word to us in the Bible. Now, if you've been with us over the last few weeks, you'll know we've been looking at the indescribable God of the Old Testament. And today we're going to see how that indescribable God, amazing God, became a man and showed his love to perhaps one of the most unlovable, lonely men in Israel. Now, before we hear that read, let me just pray for us that God would help us understand his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you inspired Luke to write these words to help us know you better. We pray that you'll give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have to say. Amen. Now, Michelle's eager to come and read this for us, but before we get there, before we get to that passage, I just want to take some time just to orient us and just help us see where this fits in the rest of the Bible timeline. Now, so you're probably aware, the Bible is broken up into two sections. We've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament spans from the beginning of time, and it speaks of how God created the world, why he created the world, and how he interacts with Israel and saves them through that time up until about 2,500 years ago. And today, we come to a passage in the New Testament written by a guy called Luke, and it's all about when God came, that indescribable God came as a man to earth 2,000 years ago, and when Jesus walked amongst us and showed us what God is truly like. And so we're going to hear about a real man called Zacchaeus and his encounter with the God-man, Jesus. And Michelle's going to tell us that story for us. Thanks.
Jesus was passing through Jericho, where a man named Zacchaeus lived. He was the chief tax collector and was very wealthy. But he was a short man, and he couldn't see Jesus over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree. When Jesus came to the base of the tree, he looked up and he called Zacchaeus by name. "Zacchaeus, hurry down, for today I must be a guest in your house." So Zacchaeus hurried down the tree and greeted Jesus warmly. But everyone who saw this grumbled. "He's going to eat with a sinner, a crook." But later that day, Zacchaeus stood up and said to Jesus, "Lord, I give half of my wealth now to the poor, and to everyone I have cheated, I will repay four times the amount." And Jesus turned to him and said, "Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to you and your family, for you are a true child of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to look for and to seek the lost."
Thanks so much, Michelle. So that story that Michelle's just told us, that was straight from Luke's word in Luke's book that he wrote about Jesus. And it's about a real man called Zacchaeus. Now, so how does this answer our questions and our problems of feeling unloved, lost, and lonely? Well, first we'll look at how Luke describes this unlovable man, Zacchaeus, and then we'll see how Jesus reacts to Zacchaeus, how he loves him. And then we're going to tie those things together and see how that relates to us in the here and now. So, what does Luke tell us about Zacchaeus? Well, immediately as Jesus reaches Jericho, we heard, we're introduced to Zacchaeus. And Luke describes him as two things. I don't know if you heard it. A chief tax collector and wealthy. All right, crowd participation moment. You ready? Okay. So, I want you to put your hands up if you like paying taxes. Oh, yep. There's good things about taxes, right? But we're not huge fans of the tax man, right? Now, just think about this for a moment. With taxes the way they are in Australia, has anyone actually ever met the tax man? We've met a tax man, maybe. Not many people have, right? Mostly, tax is done through bank systems and a whole bunch of structures, and it's even internet-based with faceless ATO websites and things. We don't really see the tax man to dislike him, do we? Now, imagine yourself back 2,000 years in your small Israelite community. You literally see the tax man all the time. He's there as a constant reminder of money that is no longer yours. More than that, we remember the Romans, right? They're the ones the taxes are going towards, a foreign oppressive nation. You see, the tax man all the time is a constant reminder of this as well. But wait, there's more. Not only is he taking your money and giving it to the Romans, the tax man is actually one of your fellow Israelites. So he's a constant reminder of a betraying Roman tax collecting guy. Oh, and there's more. He's not just one of those betrayers of Jews. He's the chief tax man betrayer. And he's rich, so he's been taking extra money off the top from people, your people, for himself. So every time anyone looks at this man in the community, he is a constant reminder of all of those things. He's an outcast. He's a sinner. Nobody likes this guy. And to top it off for Zacchaeus, he's really short. Now, I don't have anything against short people, of course. But his height isn't doing him any favors, right? This is just one unlovable guy. Now, I've managed in the space of about a minute to turn you all against Zacchaeus. Now, I want to flip that back around, and let's take a moment to imagine we're in Zacchaeus' shoes. Sure, you've got wealth and stuff galore. You've got good connections with the ruling authorities. And yet, the job you have means all your childhood friends avoid you. Your neighbors turn away when they see you coming. People hurl insults at you loud enough that you can hear in public. Sinner. Can you imagine being this guy? How incredibly lonely this must be. How much you would long for just a day when someone, just one person, might look you in the eye, have a conversation with you, say a kind word, have a meal with you, anything. Can you imagine feeling so unloved, so lonely, so lost? Maybe not to this extent that I've just described. Now we might say, well, he did that to himself, didn't he? He didn't have to take that job. Maybe being short man, he saw the opportunity to grab a bit of power and influence over his neighbors, and he's been abusing that ever since. But that was a mistake, and now he's lost. And we all make mistakes sometimes, don't we? We say unkind things. We put ourselves first, which costs friendships. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we break relationships as often as we make them, and it all comes back to bite us. We're all in the same boat as Zacchaeus in a way. We're all sinners, just like he is. And that's because we've broken the biggest relationship of all with our Creator, with God. By doing these things to others, we've not lived with God as ruler of our lives. He created us to live a certain way, where we would love him and we'd love our neighbors, but none of us can say that we've done that perfectly. That's what the Bible calls sin. So we're just like Zacchaeus, we're sinners, we're lost, we're lonely, we're unloved. And the core of those problems, why we feel that way, is our sin. There's another writer in the New Testament, Paul, who writes letters to Christian churches just after the time of Jesus. He puts it this way to the church in Rome. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. No one gets it right. We all live our own way, not God's, and that's our real problem. No one seeks God, the one who made us and cares for us, gave us life, knows us better than we know ourselves. No one seeks him. And that's the root cause of all our feelings of loneliness, feeling unloved and lost, because no one seeks the one who loves us more deeply than anyone in the world could. But the good news is that God still loves us. And he loves us so much that even though none of us seek him, he came down to earth to seek us. Did you notice that as Michelle told the story? In verse 10, Jesus says that the Son of Man, that's Jesus' own nickname for himself, says the Son of Man, I came to seek and save the lost. Jesus, the God-man, came down to earth to seek the ones who wouldn't seek him. The lost ones, the unloved, the lonely, the sinners. And we see that first with the most unlovable man, Zacchaeus, because God loves the unlovable. Zacchaeus seeks to see Jesus. He's probably heard a bit about him, the incredible miracles, the teaching he's been doing around Israel, all those things, but he can't see him because of the crowd, because he's short. So we get a bit of an odd picture here. It's a bit ridiculous, actually, even a bit funny. Can you picture in your minds for a moment a short, probably older man, after all, he's a chief tax collector, right? Hitching up his robes and climbing up a tree. Well, you don't have to picture in your minds, it's up there for you. It's a ridiculous image, isn't it? It's a picture of desperation. He doesn't really know who this Jesus is, but he knows he wants to see him. And so he seeks to see Jesus in the only way he can think, humiliating himself up a tree. It's ridiculous. I don't know how you go with meeting celebrities, but I am legitimately frightened of celebrities. I get completely starstruck. It's terrible. We once went to this obscure musical called Once, and the lead actor was a guy called Arthur Darvill. Now, some of you who are massive nerds like me and Carl may know him from Doctor Who. He's one of the... Anyway, my wife and I, we got a chance to meet him after the show, and I just stood there like a stunned mullet, and Millie says, and I quote, "Hi, Arthur. Thanks so much for the show. You were brilliant. My husband is a huge fan of yours for Doctor Who, and he'd love a photo, but he's too scared to ask you." Thanks, Millie. So I mumbled something like, "Thanks, you were so good." And we got the photo. So It was great, yeah. But I'll tell you what, at least it didn't go as badly as it did for this person. They tweeted on Twitter saying, when they met Taylor Swift, I invited Taylor Swift to Thanksgiving at my house, and she laughed in my face. Now, Zacchaeus wasn't trying to invite Jesus around for Thanksgiving at his house, but he still humiliated himself just to see Jesus. But then the most incredible thing happened, didn't it? Jesus invites himself around for Thanksgiving, so to speak, anyway. Verse 5, when Jesus comes to the spot, he stops, he looks straight up at him and says, Zacchaeus, today I must stay at your house. Now, Zacchaeus may have been seeking just to see Jesus, but he had no idea that he was the one who Jesus was seeking to meet. And it's not just because Jesus saw this random little dude up a tree. He came to the spot, he stopped, he looked up, and he called him by name, Zacchaeus. This wasn't just a random meeting. Jesus was seeking him, the one who was lost. Jesus came to seek him, to stay with him, the most unlovable man, the sinner. Sure, Taylor Swift, she's probably too busy. It was a silly thing to ask her, right? But imagine finding out that the indescribable God who created everything, including you, had come to earth and he came to you and said, I must stay at your house today. Talk about starstruck, right? I think I might just die. I'm unworthy. Why would God want anything to do with me? Maybe you feel that way too. How could anyone, let alone God, care enough about me? Why would he want anything to do with me? Well, that's the good news, because it's not just Zacchaeus Jesus came to seek and save. Jesus came to seek and save all who are lost, all who are sinners. And how does he do that? How does that work for you and for me? I mean, he's not coming around to your house for dinner tonight. Well, no, it's just like how Zacchaeus went up a tree and humiliated himself to seek Jesus. Jesus also went up a tree and humiliated himself so that he could seek and save the lost. See, our sin, it created a break in our relationship with God. But the problem when you break the connection with the one who gives you life, the one who makes life, is that the consequence is death. If you aren't connected to life, you have death. It's as simple as that. But God, knowing this was a problem, came from the other side of that relationship. He cared enough to come down to earth as a man and be hung on a tree, on a cross, humiliated and killed, taking on the death that we deserve for our sin. That's how much we are loved. We were unlovable, lost, lonely, sinners, and God still loved us enough to die in our place. Do you see how much you're cared for and loved? Just like how Jesus came seeking Zacchaeus and called him by name, he calls you and me by name as well. The God of the universe cares for you, and he is seeking you. See, the thing is, he didn't just die on that cross. He's Lord of all things, including life and death. And he rose back to life. He took back up his life, and he's calling you by name now. You are so loved. Will you respond to him? Will you accept the love that this living God, this almighty, indescribable God, offers you now? To accept the love that God offers, all you need to do is recognize his love for us and say thank you. Say sorry for our sins and knows he forgives you because he died for those sins. And then he invites us to call him Father. If we accept the love that God offers us, then we are his children. We're part of his family, just like Zacchaeus is at the end there. Now, I have a few more things to say, but before we do, I'm just going to give us a chance to accept the love that Jesus offers us. I'm going to pray this prayer that's going to come up on the screen. If you'd like to pray it with me, then join in with me. I'll give you a moment just to read what it says. If you'd like to pray that with me, and if you agree, say amen with me at the end. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love. but we have gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, help us to live for you and to please you in every way. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. If you've truly prayed those things, then you are truly one of God's children, just like Zacchaeus. If you didn't feel comfortable praying those things, don't feel like you've missed your opportunity. You can come to God anytime you like and ask him for that forgiveness and ask him to be part of his family. And he will love you because he always seeks his people. Though I just want to say that as part of God's family, we can't just keep living how we were either. He invites us to call him Father, and if we don't see him as Lord, then we haven't really accepted his relationship, have we? We need to change our behavior. If we know that Jesus is Lord of all, then he's Lord of our lives as well. Because of what he's done, we will live for him. And that's what we saw in Zacchaeus. He saw Jesus as Lord, and he changed how he was living. Now, this doesn't mean that I want you to give all your money away, like Zacchaeus. Right? That was very specific for tax collector Zacchaeus. That was his issue. But what it does mean is that now we see Jesus as our Lord, it needs to affect how we act towards him and towards others as well. Towards him, we need to be listening to his word, which he's given us right here in the Bible, we've just been reading. That shows us how we can listen to Jesus as our Lord as he teaches us. Now, if you don't have a Bible, I'd love to give you one. Come say hi after the service. Chat to Glenn, chat to Jared. We'd love to give you a Bible and to start that journey with you. If you do have one, you can start to get to know Jesus better by reading one of the books written about him. Can I suggest that Mark in the New Testament is an excellent choice? We have a number of groups that meet throughout the week and encourage one another to read God's word together. This term, they're studying this book, Luke. Or perhaps a group like Chris's group may be helpful for some who are struggling in that way amongst us. Can I encourage you to think about joining one of these groups? I know for me that these sorts of places in churches, Bible study groups, small groups, even just our gatherings on Sunday, they've always been places where I've been able to feel that love and support of the community around me, but even more so to feel God's love and to know that he loves me so dearly and so deeply. Now, you can speak to me or Glenn or Jared about that after as well. You can also write down on one of those communication cards that you got in the bulletin thing, and you can pop it in the collection later if you'd like someone to chat with further in the week or to pray with you. We'd love to chat with you further about how we can keep connecting you with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's probably some of us here, many of us here, who already say they call Jesus their Lord. And for us, I want to say, how are we calling Jesus our Lord in our relationships? Are there some that we've hurt that we need to fix, like Zacchaeus went and fixed his? When we see there are others who are feeling lost, lonely, unloved, this church community is a place where we want to make everyone, every single person, no matter who they are, where they've come from, what they've done, every single person who walks through those doors is so welcome. Because every single one of us are loved so dearly by God. We've seen that today. But let's be a church that loves God and loves those around us with the same love he's shown us in Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us when we feel unloved. You seek us when we are lost, and you've saved us from our sin and forgive us. Please help us to love you and love others around us. Amen.